Good evening, it is 5 p.m. and this is JNYGK on CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Lower Carruthers Hall on Queen's Campus in Kingston, Ontario. Today in YGK is brought to you by CFRC's news collective, Christina Laurie, Jesse Bell, and Ellie Sturton. CFRC's news programming is made possible by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. I'm CFRC's broadcast journalist, Christina Laurie, and here are your local news headlines. To start us off tonight, we have a few messages directly from the City of Kingston. First off, Kingston Public Works to host open house on May 24th. The City of Kingston's Public Works Department is inviting the community to its annual Public Works Day on Saturday, May 24th. The open house will take place at the Public Works Headquarters, 701 Division Street, from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. This family-friendly event will feature vehicles and machinery from Public Works and other city departments, and partners such as Solid Waste, Engineering, Kingston Transit, Utilities Kingston, and more. There will be hands-on activities and demonstrations, as well as information about many city programs and initiatives. Karen Santucci, Director of Public Works and Solid Waste, states, quote, "We can't wait to open our doors on May 24th and showcase the many roles and responsibilities of public works in Kingston. This event is always well attended by the community and features countless fun family activities and opportunities to learn. All are welcome to come and hear about the work we and our colleagues do around Kingston," end quote. Across Canada and the United States, Public Works Week is observed during the third full week of May to recognize the importance of public works in society. This year, it takes place from May 18th to 24th. Kingston Public Works Department oversees a variety of services and programs, including winter operations, road maintenance, parks and sports field maintenance, tree planting and pruning, community cleanups, and more. Parking will be available at the Railway Street entrance at the Public Works property. The Division Street entrance to the property will be closed. In another upcoming event, debunk traffic myths and discover local transportation solutions at the Truth About Traffic. Whether you drive, bike, walk, roll, or ride transit, all are invited to attend The Truth About Traffic, a free presentation on June 5th to challenge common misconceptions about urban traffic and transportation. This evening talk and panel discussion will be led by Brent Tadarian, an internationally recognized leader in sustainable urbanism, city planning, and transportation. The event will explore proven strategies to tackle traffic challenges in growing communities like Kingston and will include a panel discussion to explore effective local solutions for Kingston and the necessary steps to achieve them. Tadarian states, quote, "The goal of the evening is to act as a turning point in the local conversation about transportation and the kind of better solutions we need. That starts with being honest about the kind of things we've been getting wrong," end quote. Event details. The location will be at the Chet Center for Creativity and Learning, Malting Tower, on the third floor, at 6 to 8 p.m. on Thursday, June 5th. Register to attend the evening talk for free on Eventbrite. Space is limited, and they expect spots to go quickly. The event will also be live-streamed for those who cannot attend in person. Follow along on the event livestream on the City of Kingston YouTube channel. City launches Playground Accessibility Public Engagement. The City of Kingston is launching a new playground accessibility plan and inviting residents to help shape its direction. This plan will guide the equitable development, renovation, and enhancement of the city's playgrounds over the next 10 years. Amy Elgersma, Director of Recreation and Leisure Services, states, quote, "Play is essential to a child's development and the well-being of our communities. With every new playground we build or renovate, we strive to create welcoming, inclusive, and accessible spaces for everyone. The Playground Accessibility Plan will guide us over the next decade to ensure our investments in play are thoughtful, equitable, and responsive to community needs," end quote. An in-person project workshop for the community takes place on June 11th, and an online one is planned for June 12th. Complete workshop and project details are available through the project page on Get Involved Kingston. This is also where you can ask questions and offer feedback as the project moves forward. Public input is important in developing this plan and will occur in various forms throughout the spring, summer, and early fall of 2025. To stay connected and receive updates on future opportunities to provide feedback, visit Get Involved Kingston and follow the project. Once again, what you just heard were updates directly from the City of Kingston this week. In a note from the Kingston General Hospital, temporary closure in place at KGH site main entrance May 26th to 31st. Kingston Health Sciences Center is notifying patients, families, and visitors and staff that the Kid Davies main entrance on Stewart Street at the Kingston General Hospital site will be closed for repairs from May 26th to 31st, 2025. Please note both the revolving door and the nearby automatic doors will be inaccessible. Vehicles dropping off or picking up patients, visitors, or staff should use the Armstrong entrance. Access to via Lower University Avenue to enter or exit the building. Parking areas and driveway access outside of the main entrance will not be affected. This work is expected to be completed by May 31, 2025, with normal access resuming on June 1, 2025. For additional information about parking locations or to plan your visit to the KGH site, please visit kingstonhsc.ca/visiting or attending khsc/gettinghospital. It was announced on Wednesday that Homegrown Live Music Festival, the annual all-local music festival that took over downtown Kingston on Saturday, May 3rd, achieved record turnout, with over 1,800 attendees, approximately 300 more than the previous record. Homegrown is in support of Joe's Musical Instrument Lending Library, a nonprofit established in honor of Joe Chitlin, a young, beloved musician in Kingston who passed unexpectedly on May 1, 1999. Joe's Mill has 1,300 instruments available for borrowing, fulfilling Joe's vision of giving everyone a chance to learn to play an instrument. The city was fully immersed in the one-day festival with over 145 acts on 17 stages at venues across the city, including more than 400 individual local musicians who donated their time and talents to support the library. Chris Morris, one of the festival organizers, spoke with CFRC about the energy on the day.
You know, to see 400 plus musicians coming out in one day to all volunteer their time, I think that's the kind of energy that hypes up the rest of the community. Like, so many people, and we're lucky that we have these numbers that we can really brag about. So many people are just excited. Oh my god, there was so much music happening all, and it's all in one day. People always ask about, like, you know, let's do another one in the fall, or let's make it a whole weekend. But I don't have any more energy in the year than to do it just once. But we keep it all compressed in one day, so there's just this energy and this vibe of there is music everywhere, and you hear it pouring out of the Caesar Company, and you hear it coming out of the Toucan basement, and you know we've got two bands playing at the same time at the Buckle and at the Mansion and all this stuff. So it's just like, and you see people walking around with guitar cases and amplifiers and drum kits, and it's, you see them crossing Market Square, what, you know, passing each other saying, oh hey, I'm going to play there now, oh you're going to play the Toucan, great. It's that kind of thing, you know. There's just like 400 plus musicians, they're all downtown at the same time for the same cause, and I think that's what the energy is. And the music fans, which, you know, those are the ones that ultimately buy the wristbands and give us the money to make the donation, you know, they love that. Oh my god, I'm going to plot out my whole day. You know, I'm going to go downtown from 1 o'clock until 9 o'clock, and I'm going to see these seven bands. When you see them at a bar stool with a Sharpie highlighting where they're going to go, make sure they have a map or whatever.
Homegrown is the Mill's largest fundraiser of the year, and this year the community came through with a grand total of $15,400 in donations. Denis LaRue, president of Joe's Mill, spoke about how the donations will support the Mill and by extension the community in an interview with CFRC.
We depend on donations and events like this for us to continue to operate. So $15,000 is about 10% of our budget, which is fantastic. So what we do is we'll use that money towards more instruments, towards our education program. We now go out into schools and provide musical workshops to students. Joe's mantra was always, wouldn't it be great if everybody had the opportunity to play an instrument? And here we are 25 years later, and we are giving that opportunity to everybody, from young kids to old fogies like me who just want to go out and borrow an instrument for $25 a year, and that's just for the library card. You can go out and rent any of the 1,300 instruments that we have. Yes, I did say 1,300 instruments from sitars to xylophones to drums to stuff like guitars. We have so many different instruments there. What we hope is that people borrow those instruments and become lifelong players.
Aside from the changing landscape of venues and the new addition of a comedy stage this year, Homegrown has maintained a steady approach since its inception. Chris and Denis reflected on why this year was such a hit.
We haven't really changed Homegrown that much. Like we've been doing it almost the exact same way for 17 years. So we just, you know, we try to expand. We have to adapt to the changing landscape, particularly with respect to venues. The musicians are really excited to play. I think that's probably the ultimate factor. I mean, we can do logistics all day long, but if no one wants to see these acts, and if the acts don't help promote the festival, then people aren't going to get that excited, right? So I think I saw a lot of social media posts from bands that were just treating this as a big gig, which is great. Sometimes it's a little surprising because they're playing for free and, you know, it's kind of short set sometimes. So, you know, it's like, oh my God, we are playing Homegrown live. You must come see us, which is what we want to see. And it's great to see bands that are excited and taking ownership. Pride in playing Homegrown and supporting the cause.
People have always loved Homegrown, and I think what happened when COVID hit, we saw a downturn, of course, and it took a few years for Homegrown to get back to what it was before. And I think what's happened now is that people are in the swing of things. Even though it was raining, we got a lot of people out, and I think people just love the fact that you, for $10, you can go and see over 140 artists playing in 15 or so venues, and also that it's for the support of Joe's Mill. Whenever I speak and I talk about Joe's Mill, I get loud applause. I think people think and know what a cool place it is and how cool it is to have a musical instrument library. You just don't see that anywhere else.
Both Chris and Denis also highlighted the increase in youth participation that made this year special.
You know, one thing I was thinking about, because, you know, Homegrown always comes around the anniversary of when Joe Chisholm passed away. Every few years, we actually have Homegrown on the anniversary, but he died May 1st, where I was the first weekend in May, right? So so I was thinking, as I was sort of putting out my annual sort of post about Joe, is that it's been 26 years. And, you know, people my age and older got to see him play and knew him a little bit, but there were so many people that played Homegrown that were like born after Joe passed away or were far too young to go see him in Toucan. Right. So that was kind of on my mind a lot this year, and I was really amazed at how many people come out to play for this thing that is his legacy, that is this memorial tribute to him, right? So and people, you know, saying, oh man, like I wish I would have known him, or it sounds like he was the coolest guy, and he was. so that part of Homegrown, you know, to me this year in particular, was really touching.
Youngsters playing and the vibe down there was just wonderful, hearing these kids playing music and performing sometimes for the first time was just really cool.
That wraps up your headlines for this evening. Next up is CFRC's Jesse Bell with your weather and traffic reports for this evening.
This is Jesse Bell with the Environment Canada Weather Report for the Kingston region. Monday, May 19th, daytime high of 17 degrees with a mix of sun and cloud, dropping down to a low of 6 overnight. Tuesday, May 20th, daytime high of 16 degrees and it will be sunny, dropping down to 7 overnight. Wednesday, May 21st, cloudy with a 40% chance of showers and a few degrees colder, daytime high of 13, dropping down to 9 overnight. Thursday, May 22nd, another rainy day here in the city of Kingston. Cloudy with a 60% chance of precipitation, daytime high of 13 degrees, overnight low of 8. Friday, May 23rd, Another rainy day, third in a row here in the city of Kingston, cloudy with a 60% chance of showers and a daytime high of 13 degrees, dropping down to 8 overnight. Saturday, May 24th, 14 degrees with a 40% chance of showers. Moving into the end of the weekend, Sunday, May 25th, it is going to be the first bit of sun we see in the city, high of 17 degrees, overnight low of 8, and Monday, May 26th, daytime high of 17 with an overnight low of 8. This is your City of Kingston traffic report for the week. We begin with road closures. Albert Street, Princess to Mac is closed to accommodate construction activity and staging at 484 Albert Street. Aberdeen Street, William to Johnson is closed to accommodate construction activity and staging. Berry Street, Queen to Colborne is closed until May 30th for construction-related activity at 283 Queen Street. Cassidy Street, Montreal to Maple is closed until June 6th as part of the ongoing intersection improvements of Montreal and John Counter. Earl Street, Collingwood to Toronto is closed for sewer separation and road rehabilitation work. South Bartlett Street, Smith to Victoria is closed until the end of August for construction-related activity at 655 Princess Street. Sydenham Street, Princess to Queen is closed until October 3rd for the Sydenham Street Community Space. Victoria Street, Union to Johnson is closed for sewer separation and road rehabilitation work. And Victoria Street, Princess to North Bartlett is closed until August 29th for construction-related activity at 655 Princess Street. Here are some other delays to be aware of. Bay Ridge Drive, Milford to Henderson. Expect delays for the construction of new active transportation infrastructure and intersection upgrades. Collins Bay Road, Woodbine to Princess. Expect delays while a contractor completes landscaping work on Collins Bay Road. Front Road, Sand Bay to Country Club. Expect delays for the installation of sanitary and water main for Utilities Kingston. Traffic will be reduced to one lane in each direction. Please be aware of lane shifts, traffic speed limits, and share the lane signage. Gardner's Road at Centennial and Creekford. Expect delays while a contractor completes intersection widening, traffic signal upgrades, and cycling and pedestrian improvements. Expect significant delays on Gardner's Road between the Invista Center and the 401, and on Creekford and Centennial near the Gardens intersection from May 23rd until May 24th at 7 p.m. Highway 2, Abbeydon to St. Lawrence. Expect delays to complete enhanced flood protection of Abbeydon Road, Highway 2, and St. Lawrence Avenue. Montreal Street at John Counter. Expect delays for upgrades to the intersection, including new lighting, traffic signals, lanes, paving, and signage to improve safety and efficiency for all road users. Victoria Street and Earl Street. Expect delays while a contractor mobilizes to site to start work on the second phase of reconstruction of sewer, water main, sidewalks, and road.
Hey folks, it's Ellie Sturton, and coming up are the main events happening around town this week. On Wednesday, join Fiercely OK Song Circle at Chalmers United Church starting at 7 p.m. Everyone's welcome, and it's $20 to participate. Or head to Tir na n'Og for open mic night with Logan Brown at 9 p.m. On Thursday, from 1:30 to 3 p.m., stop by Long & McQuaid with your instruments for a free instrument care clinic hosted by in-house tech, Lisa. That night, La Vida Bistro Bar hosts No Effing Rules, What's Your Talent? A wild open mic meets talent show from 7 to 10 p.m. with doors at 6. Daft Brewing brings back Queerioke from 8 to 11 p.m. It's a welcoming karaoke night for the LGBTQ plus community and allies. And cover is $5 at the door. Or sing your heart out at Tir na n'Og with karaoke hosted by Jeremy Green from 9 p.m. to midnight. On Friday, Art After Dark takes over downtown Kingston from 7 to 10 p.m. Enjoy a self-guided gallery tour throughout local shops and maybe even win $500 towards original art. At Le Sesame Theatre, see Nickel City Fifes, a surreal, queer coming-of-age play set in Sudbury. It starts at 7 p.m. and tickets are $25. Also on Friday, at Something in the Water Brewing, catch the Drag Brunch Saved My Life, viewing party and drag show from 8 to 10 p.m. It's pay what you can and features Queens Rowena Way and Dare de la Femme with a screening and live performance. Spearhead Brewery hosts a free all-ages open mic from 7 to 10 p.m. and karaoke night kicks off at the Buckle at 9 p.m. Always free and always fun. On Saturday, the Great Canadian Cheese Festival opens at Fort Henry from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Enjoy tastings, wine and beer pairings, kids activities, and live jazz from the Howard Lopez Music Group. It continues Sunday and tickets are $50. At the Spire, families can enjoy Frozen in Time, a sing-along and storytelling event with your favorite princesses. It starts at 7 p.m. and tickets begin at $25. The Buckle hosts Open Mic with Lucas Oat from 5 to 7 p.m., a free and all-ages event led by 14-year-old Kingston talent. And if you're looking for something a bit spicier, head to La Vida Bistro Bar for The London Affair, a 19-plus burlesque and cabaret show presented by Limestone City Burlesque. It runs from 8 to 10 p.m., and tickets are $20. On Sunday, stroll through the Montreal Street Vintage Market between 10 a.m. and 5 p.m. for handmade, thrifted, and vintage treasures from over 20 local vendors. At 2 p.m., Monster Spectacular roars into Slush Puppy Place with monster truck races, freestyle jumps, and family fun. Tickets start at $41. And don't forget, it's the final day to catch both the Great Canadian Cheese Festival at Fort Henry and Cirque de Paris at the RioCan Center. Have a local event that you would like covered on CFRC's website and our news programming? Contact us today via cfrc.ca. And now your live music calendar for the week. On Wednesday, folks can see Whiskey Smoke at the Buckle from 7:30 to 10:30 p.m. Or check out Frank Ryan live at Musiki for Smooth Soul and Blues from 8 to 11. On Thursday, Jeff Dunn, lead singer of Hellhound Trail, plays a solo set at the RCHA from 7 to 10 p.m. It's $5 for non-members. At the Grand Theater, catch Don't Stop Believing, a pop rock show by Voices Rock Medicine Kingston. Starting at 7 p.m., tickets are just $45. Or head over to the Mansion to see the Gimme Gimme Gimmies bring punk covers to life with support from Sitcoms and the Killdeers. It starts at 9 p.m. and tickets are $10. And if you're feeling folky, Anthea Fever plays at Musiki from 8 to 11 p.m. with entry by donation. On Friday, head to the RCHA at 4 p.m. for happy hour with Deschutes. Then stay for the Johnny Max Band and Sean Kellerman at 8 p.m. Tickets are $30. Folk fans can catch Dave Gunning at the Broom Factory at 7:30 p.m. for $30. Or check out the Codas, Tiny Horse, and Kira Johnson at the Spire at 8 p.m. for $30. Also on Friday, Baloney Colorado and 5X5 rock the stage at the Mansion at 9 p.m. for just $5. Over at St. Mark's Lutheran Church, Ian Markson plays cello and world music from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Tickets run $15 to $45. And you'll also find Eurocafe Duo playing French and Italian jazz in Musiki's courtyard from 8 to 11 p.m. On Saturday, Sky Diggers take over the Broom Factory at 7:30 p.m. with tickets for $45. Coco Love Alcorn brings folk, jazz, and gospel to Chalmers United Church at 7:30. And UK Pink Floyd Experience lights up the Grand Theatre at 7 p.m. with tickets for $73.40. Over at the RCHA, The Change plays classic rock from 8 to 11 p.m., and cover is $15 at the door. Head to the Mansion to rock out with Sandvise, Aux, The Strange Happenings, and Stunseed, starting at 7 p.m., with tickets for $17.31. Also on Saturday, the Frontenac Community Concert Band presents O Canada at the Salvation Army Citadel. Entry is by donation. And local act Kentucky celebrates their debut album release with a show at Spearhead Brewery from 7 to 10 p.m. On Sunday, enjoy the Sunday Best Series at the Elm Cafe with Danielle Hope Edwards from 2 to 4 p.m., hosted by members of the Gertrudes. At St. George's Cathedral, hear Eternal Light, an afternoon of choral music by Gabriel Ferre, from 2:30 to 4:30 p.m. Tickets range from free to $33.28. And finally, wrap up the week at the Mansion with a high-energy show from Lulu Lemontang, RevZ, and LHRK. From 8 to 10:30 p.m., tickets are $11.98. Have a local concert that you would like covered on CFRC's website and our news programming? Contact us today via cfrc.ca.
Thank you for tuning in to CFRC's local news programming. To revisit episodes of Today in YGK and hear more from some of our guests, be sure to head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Today in YGK is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear, 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. Be sure to stay tuned for more CFRC programming coming up next.
What'll I Wear offers the best in vintage, funky, one-of-a-kind treasures, clothing, accessories, and a fabulous selection of jewels, vintage and new. Find the cutest purse, the most dashing of hats and sunglasses, everything to complete your individual look. What'll I Wear has it all. They can dress you from top to bottom. Find your new fashion fave at What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street in Kingston. Visit their new location and follow them on Facebook to keep up to date with what's in store at What'll I Wear.